Hi, I'm Feroz Khan, and welcome to Drag and Drop Low-Code Unplugged, the podcast where we explore the game-changing impact of low-code in software development. Join me in insightful conversations with IT leaders and passionate low-code enthusiasts who are at the forefront of this digital evolution. Together, we'll explore how early adoption of low-code is giving businesses a competitive edge on a global scale. We'll discuss its impact on software development, dissect its role in transforming businesses, and uncover the ways in which it's reshaping career trajectories. So whether you're a seasoned IT professional or a curious enthusiast, be sure to tune in as we share success stories and unravel the mysteries of low-code. Subscribe now and stay tuned for a front row seat to the revolution that's shaping the future of technology. So let's go. Hi, Liam. How are you?
Hey, Faraz. Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for agreeing to be a guest on our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amazing, I appreciate it. It'd be good to start with you giving a bit of introduction to yourself, who you are, where you're from, for those who may not know you.
Sure. I'm a Midwesterner at heart. I went to Marquette University in Milwaukee and tried to take a path of psychology and criminology. I was fascinated with rehabilitation for prisoners, actually. That was a big focus of mine. I interned at some prisons and kind of wanted to take that path. But then I didn't really find any of the careers that lined up with my interests. So I started to pivot to programming. Actually, it was from, I wanted to start doing some scraping at a meetup in Austin. I proposed my problem to people. I wanted to scrape news sites for like police brutality complaints. Back then, that was a really, really hot topic, really close to my heart. You know, policing is a very difficult job, but when, you know, the media coverage of it doesn't always align with what's expected. So anyway, I was talking at some meetups about that, and somebody suggested I learn Python. Yeah, and so you know, and that's a little bit about me is I'll go out and learn something, and so I started looking into Python.
And you know, when you looked into Python, you know, obviously you eventually started working using Python.
A little bit. I was working with a few startups in Austin at the time. And there was, I really got my hands on some code and real life experiences. I didn't end up, I ended up creating a scraping tool, but I never like, you know, got it to a feasible business level. But then I used that like foundation to go back to Chicago, my home, and go to a master's program in business analytics.
Nice. And your first role was like a business, you were a business analyst, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how did kind of Mendex come into this, and how kind of, because I know it was obviously that position where you started working with Mendex, how kind of soon into that role were you exposed to Mendex?
Six months-ish. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of BI, a lot of visuals for management. They were, you know, asking for reports, and really I just attributed to their confidence in me. They said, "Hey, we think this is something you could tackle, you could handle, you could learn." So they sent me to Boston for Mendex training, which was very exciting. I was still young and like I hadn't traveled for work. It was the coolest thing. per diem and a hotel and stuff. That was a lot of fun.
So what was your kind of, you know, when you went for the training and you they were showing you the platform, what was your, because you've been using code, what was your kind of initial reaction to it?
Oh, I was kind of snobby. I was like, oh, this is an actual code. But looking back, I was still such a novice. And what Mendex brings to the table is, I think, like, for advanced developers are the ones who could really appreciate what Mendex brings to the table, is getting rid of a lot of overhead. And I didn't get that. I was thinking you need to be writing lines of code to be a real programmer. But I quickly got on board when I realized I wasn't as smart as I thought I was.
And then, you know, when you kind of, you know, obviously you got on board, you liked the platform. And obviously, you know, still today, you're a Mendex developer. So you obviously enjoyed going in that direction. At any point, did you think about kind of going back to Python traditional development?
You know, perhaps occasionally, but I've had the opportunity to use Python with Mendex. So whenever I've had that itch, I've been able to scratch it. And I could talk about that as well. Those are interesting projects.
And you know, when you kind of, you know, because obviously when you were working with Mendex, it wasn't big in the US. I think it's still not really big in the US. And at any point did you think, okay, if I go with Python, it's well known, there's a load of jobs around for my career, or were you kind of just like, okay, I'm just gonna roll with Mendex, see how it goes, and hopefully kind of I can build a career out of it?
I think Mendex felt safer because I had used it in a professional setting more extensively than Python. By the time I was getting messages from recruiters, I think because there were fewer developers, it made it more attractive because I felt special. When you go to the Python, when you apply for Python work, you realize there's a lot of competition. But Mendex work, and it is getting more popular, but Mendex work, there is a much smaller pool of resources.
And in the time you've been using Mendex, you know, what are some features that they've released that you've kind of been really excited about, or really kind of, where have you been working at the time, you know, really helped your day-to-day job?
Something that that I think developers might take for granted today, which I do too, is that as recent as Mendex 7, Mendex added built-in REST activities for microflows. Before that, it was a Java action, and there wasn't as much tooling around it. So that's the first thing that comes to mind, is just, you know, Mendex works with APIs. Mendex works with REST. Even if I want to do testing with some Google ML, you know, just to have fun with some API, I might use Mendex instead of Postman now, because I can visualize, I can put the data up easier. I can do more extensive testing with it. There's some recent stuff that's been really nice as well. Like styling has gotten really smoother to develop within Studio Pro. They have code blocks now within Studio Pro to edit JavaScript, which is really nice. They've been adding stuff. Can't, you know, the dark background, the dark mode.
That's a special place
in my heart.
And there's something that I think, you know, not just with Mendex and low code, I think across all technology, AI seems to be a big kind of topic that everyone's talking about. You know, can you talk to us about, you know, What's your kind of views on that? How that could help your job? Are you already kind of, have you already been using some sort of AI in your position?
I've only been using, to a limited extent, Copilot to ask questions about like TypeScript or Java. With Mendix's built-in AI assist, I've been more of the grumpy old coder. Like, get out of my way. Where's this blue dot coming from? But I, as a developer, I think I also, part of me also appreciates that this is new technology and it's here to help me. And I think in any other industry, if you don't use AI ML tools to help you, you'll fall behind. So I should open my heart a little bit more to the ML assist bot in Mendix. So yeah. I think that's where I am with the built-in stuff.
I saw that you did something with AI, didn't you? In, was it in university or certification?
That was when I was trying to get my first job.
Okay.
That was cool. Thrilling. I was an intern. This was when I first got that business analyst job. Yeah. I was interning and I was able to put together a unsupervised machine learning model to basically show the CTO that the way they were doing certain metrics wasn't accurate. And the response I got was, he's like, I knew it wasn't working. And then they asked a few more questions and sent me out the door. And then a few days later, I got the job.
Oh, so amazing. That's really cool.
It was very exciting.
And in the time you've been using Mendix, is there anything that the platform, you know, any frustrations that you have that the platform, anything that the platform doesn't offer that you'd like to see that would make your life much easier?
I feel like I've made a list for this a few times. I do have some, as my experience grows, I think my blind spots grow too. So when I think of that question, I think more of stuff that's new challenges, and what those are for me is performance. Like, as apps get bigger, the performance challenges get much different. Mm. And I kind of wish there was more visibility and tooling into client-server interaction. Whenever, as a developer, you select refresh in client, you're interacting with the server again. You're causing the client to do more stuff. And you could kind of cause some cascading effects depending on how the page is designed. There is developer tools to look at the actual requests going between them, but it would be nice for some built-in, I don't know if it would be page features or microflow, maybe logging. Something that gives us more insight into the creep, performance creep. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden something's taking 40 seconds when before it took 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And
I think when I speak to people, they all say, you know, as much as, you know, they have these frustrations, nothing's perfect, and every platform has something. That would be a frustration.
Yeah. And I think it's worth the trade-offs. There's a lot that Mendix brings that makes it worth it.
Yeah. And is there one or two kind of noteworthy projects you can tell us that you've worked on, tell us about that you've worked on that you've really kind of enjoyed and been a part of?
Sure. Yeah. One is working with some AWS step functions. It was like an API. We were having problems with data between applications. It seemed like we were losing data one way or another, and we needed a way to regularly check if the data was in sync. So I used AWS step functions in Python and had kind of a back and forth communication between a Mendix app that would, the step functions would restore. It would interact with Mendix's, I think it's just called deploy API, and it would pull backups from Mendix, restore selected tables, and then compare like A to B between the applications. And then it would send back information to the Mendix application itself and say, hey, you're missing 17 rows from this table. And then we would act on that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, with not just Mendix, low code as a whole, it's gaining traction and a lot more customers are now open to considering low code tools. What's your personal view on why more companies are open to using low code compared to, you know, in the past?
I think it's an intersection of like adopting technical solutions at a higher level. People are more comfortable with kind of getting their hands on, you know, by this point you have CTOs, management that have had their hands either in code, maybe they have a code background, or they are more comfortable with technical solutions that are in-house because they've had other solutions like that. So there's kind of like an industry. It seems like there's a general software adoption curve that's in low code's favor. But then also, you know, the perpetual desire for services cheaper, services faster, everything, and that's a low code selling point. A huge low code selling point is faster development.
And I think it helps that, you know, you've got companies like Gartner and Forrester talking about low code much more. Compared to, you know, years ago where it's not really mentioned. So
yeah, we're in a different part of the quadrant now.
Definitely. So, and you know, in the time, especially in the US, because it kind of takes to when you said when you went for the Mendix role, you were kind of happy that there wasn't many people around and you were kind of unique. And I think, yeah, it's definitely growing in the US, but I think it's still not that many people around, right? And it's mainly traditional development. Do you ever come across, you know, or have conversations with people in traditional development who are not so keen on low code or don't think, or think low code is just for small little things, you know? And, you know, and what would be your kind of message to those people who, you know, still, you know, hate on low code?
Yeah, I haven't been to any like Python meetups, and I would never be found at like a Java meetup, just because I'm not proficient at it. Yeah. But to the proverbial haters, I would say this can do everything that that Python or Java can do. But it's removing a lot of noise. It's removing a lot of busy work. It has a lot of conveniences that you don't need. And this is also talking to my myself, you know, 6 years ago when I was kind of looking down my nose at it. It's like you don't need to be writing code to be creating like effective long-term solutions in software. And after you get past the language or the software you're using to build something, it's all the same. And you hear this all the time. It's like, it doesn't really matter what the language is. The most important thing is having the right solution for the, you know, the business need. And, you know, you take that, and then the software is kind of, you know, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah. And have you found in your own career, and something that, you know, a lot of low code platforms talk about is obviously speed is one, but also for the developer itself, it can expedite your career in, you know, in regards to growth and senior positions faster than maybe in a traditional career.
Yeah. 100%. Oh yeah. I think this can, because of the labor market, particularly for Mendex, it can get you a foot in the door for technical skills. And you can kind of grow those skills, and advancement is, you know, up to you. I see people, that I've seen their career path change from, you know, they want to be a developer, then they become a senior developer, and then they can become a lead.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, then you could become, you don't have to become management. You could become an architect. And those are very important roles too, as a Mendex developer, understanding the underlying systems and the right ways to design things. So there's, it can kind of speed your career. I don't have a pulse on non-Mendex job development, but I think the career path is pretty rich. And
when I was looking at your kind of LinkedIn, like, you after two, like when you joined EXP, you're a lead already, kind of 3 years into your career, which is, from our experience, pretty quick, you know, compared to traditional.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was I don't think I would have applied for a lead position, but I was kind of, I was doing a lead work.
Yeah.
And so I started pushing for the promotion.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can find yourself in that, because if you're, you know, if there's fewer devs and you're the one willing to kind of, you know, stick your neck out enough to make, you know, decisions and provide guidance and stuff, you know, it's an obvious next step.
Yeah. And then, you know, I find, you know, a lot of Mendex developers sometimes have the title business engineer or business developer, because obviously you're very involved in the business. Did you feel that maybe because you started kind of in the BA kind of role, that really helped you on that side, you know, because you kind of, you had the IT side, but also the business analyst side as well, which can really help in being, you know, involved on the technical but business side as well.
Oh, that's really cool. That's a really good question. I completely agree. I think because of my initial role from the BA side, the input from the business has always been the missing piece. Whenever I get work, I immediately need clarification from the business. And, and maybe this is just developers in general, but I want to nail down what they're looking for. And as a BA, you're getting, at least I was getting requests directly from management, directly from the people who would be using the metrics that I was building. So it was just a natural workflow.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a good question. I hadn't thought of that.
Cool. And, you know, just the kind of final question, you know, what, you know, you've been working with Mendex for a while now. What's your kind of, you know, personal aspirations, things you've got kind of, you're looking forward to in the future?
I'm looking forward to, so I moved back to being a developer. I got, you know, I had different, it was just, you know, I got a higher rate offer. So it was less responsibility for a higher rate. So I kind of, it was an easy decision, but my career aspirations is moving back to being a team lead. I really get a lot of satisfaction of being more involved in that process and the visibility. And working with the team was really just a blast. So yeah. I'd like to move back in that direction.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. It was really good to talk to you and hear about your story and kind of how you've got to where you are, which is, it's very interesting how you started off with kind of total different direction and ended up as a Mendex developer, which is really cool.
Yeah,
so I appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe we can speak again in the future and see where you've gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all ears.
Amazing. Appreciate it. Thanks, Liam.
Yeah. Thanks, Raz.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's episode, which is brought to you by iTrack. We are a leading staffing firm that solely specializes in supplying both contract and permanent low-code professionals to organizations globally. Navigating the niche landscape of the low-code market requires the best talent, and we recognize its critical importance for our clients. Whether you're a company looking to strengthen your team, an individual seeking the next career move, or someone entirely new to the world of low-code, we're here for you. Our extensive experience and in-depth market knowledge enables us to quickly pinpoint the ideal candidates while offering expert advice and support at every stage of your low-code journey. Reach out to us through our website or connect with me directly on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to assist you. Thank you once again for joining us today. We'll be back next week with another insightful episode. Until then, take care.